Good morning. Before I go into scripture and sermon, I just wanted to thank this congregation for your support of Anchor Point Counseling Ministry. This has been one of the key churches in the area for supporting Anchor Point Counseling Ministry. Our ministry is located over near Ross Park Mall. This is our 49th and a half year. We're going on 50 years come January. And I'd like to acknowledge Dick Bruckman. I don't think Dick's here today, but Dick has been the treasurer for 49 and a half years. So we're just really excited to honor Dick next year. We're going to move him into forced retirement. I want to thank Brian Gongaware. He's been an instrument, huge instrument in our organization. Still remains as a committee member. Many, many people in this congregation support Anchor Point and its ministry of counseling, tutoring, parent education, and support groups. We're doing a lot more with support groups lately, support groups for women, for single women, for teens having depression and social anxiety. We've had an ongoing bereavement support group at St. Sebastian's for years. We'll be starting a divorce group this fall, and we're doing marriage groups as well. So we're really focusing on having people come together to support one another in groups. We're supported by churches, we're supported by foundations, we're supported by events such as our golf tournament, our book sale, and our gala in the fall. And so we appreciate so much the support from this church and from people in this church. Can't thank you enough. The counseling ministry is a needed ministry of the church, and we consider ourselves very much a paraministry of the Christian church. So I am in deep gratitude to this congregation. Our scripture this morning is taken from 1 John 5 through 1 John 2, 6. In your Pew Bible, I don't know what page it is. Sorry. It's entitled Light and Darkness, Sin and Forgiveness. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie, and we do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. But if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice of our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. And I'm reading from James. No, I'm still reading. We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. And now to move on to James 5:16. This is applicable to all of us in this room, as well as what I just read. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus Christ, maker of heaven and earth, have mercy on each of us. Amen. In the dictionary, the word confession means acknowledgement, admission, avowal, acknowledgement or disclosure of sin or sinfulness, especially to a pastor or priest, to obtain absolution. A formal, usually written, acknowledgement of guilt by a person accused of a crime. Now, many of you know that I am a counselor at Anchor Point, and I consider my work there to be pastoral counseling. I was trained in that. And there is a very interesting correlation between confession to God and pastoral counseling. The correlation is confession. Think about it. When we confess our sins to Christ, we are cleansed from our sinful behaviors, thoughts, and attitudes. We are breaking down the barriers between us and Christ. The purpose of confession is not to gain God's acceptance again. That has already happened. The main purpose is to remove barriers to fellowship and communion with Christ that our sin has put between us. In the counseling process, there is often conflict between people. I often work with parents and teens, and I often work with married couples or couples who are dating and they're having some difficulty in their relationship. The counseling process is first focused on clarifying what the problem is, then discussing how the problem is affecting the relationship. Usually, one person is trying to explain to the other how certain actions or attitudes are affecting them negatively. There is a brokenness in the relationship that is causing pain. That pain is causing distance, hurt, and anger as well. And we all know that pain and anger are kissing cousins. So what ultimately needs to happen is a recognition of the hurtful behavior. And one either has to confess and seek forgiveness or not value the relationship and continue the behavior to the detriment of that relationship. However, most people come to counseling because they do value their relationships and want to reconcile the relationship. They want healing to take place because they care, because they love the other person, and because it is a difficult situation. They want to be and have a strong need for a healthy relationship. There is a need for a penitent heart, a repentant attitude for healing to really occur. However, this is the thing in all of us that gets in the way, and that is the word pride. In my experience, I see it getting in the way for many of us, particularly in the counseling office. Pride is the most dangerous of all the sins because our pride prioritizes ourselves over others. And our pride can even prioritize our wants, desires, and attitudes over the teachings of Jesus and his saving grace offered to us through his sacrificial dying on the cross, as the scripture referred to, through his blood. That's why we use his blood a lot in Christianity. It saves us. But our pride seems to even affect our memory at times because we forget who created us and we forget to whom it is that we belong. We were saved from the darkness, as the scripture says. We really are not our own. We are adopted heirs of the living God. We are children of the Lord. But we can often forget, again, who and whose we are. I think that we would all agree that pride can do a great deal of damage and harm. Would you raise your hand if you feel that way? Okay, some of you didn't raise your hand. Just kidding. So, just like the people who come to counseling, to heal a relationship where there is brokenness, it is very necessary to come before Christ and confess our sins and seek his forgiveness. John MacArthur, who is on Word Radio often, And I know Sherry has bought his Bible, and I occasionally read his Bible, writes the following about confession. The term confess means to say the same thing about sin as God does, to acknowledge his perspective about sin. Confession of sin characterizes genuine Christian action and belief, and God continually cleanses those who are confessing. Now, I have stated that pride is the worst of all the sins, and I say this because pride blinds us from our true identity in Christ. One example of this is our constant, everyday exposure to the marketing culture of our country. We are told we deserve this product and that product. We are basically labeled as consumers, and marketing is all about indoctrinating us to consume more for our own satisfaction and our prideful egos. People who do not recognize their need for God often take great pride in what they have consumed, what they own. At times, for some, their identity can be wrapped up in these things that they own. Things can take priority over people and service to people. And self-indulgence can be a blinding pride. And we are smacked with it every day. We are subjugated to so many commercials. And now with our phones, we even get more and more commercials, no matter where we are. Life then becomes very unbalanced. And our Lord wants us to live a very balanced life. The problem is that then we become the central focus of our life. And Christ tells us he wants to be the central focus of our life. Scripture says he is a jealous God, and rightly so. Christianity challenges this lifestyle, and Christ tells us that to gain our life, we must lose our life. Complicated statement, paradoxical, as much of Scripture can challenge us that way in paradox. So, as Christians, along the way, somewhere, you recognized your need for a Savior, and this was due to whatever life circumstances that brought you to a deep awareness of your need for God in your life. For some of us, it was traumatic. For others of us, we grew up in the church, and we just learned and learned and learned. Either way, it was a great decision for all of us. As Christians, God is now in control. We seek to view life from God's perspective, and he calls us to walk in the light, and he calls us to leave the darkness. But there is darkness all around us, and we need to be freed from it, to be cleansed from it, to get rid of it, as the scripture in John says. And to walk in the light, we need to be obedient. Obedience must combat our pride. Obedience must combat our pride. When we are obedient, we will no longer be blinded by pride. We will recognize our sin. In his book, A Long Obedience, Eugene Peterson, who is a retired Presbyterian minister, and he's the author of the book, The Bible, The Message, he discusses the importance of being obedient. Our obedience enables us to recognize our sin and be all the more attuned to God in our life. Now, Tim and I had a discussion once that helped me out a lot, and I talked with him about this long obedience stuff, and I stated that, ironically, the times that I do feel closest to Christ, I also feel how far short I fall. Does that jive with everybody? Does that make sense? And I talked to Tim and I said, what's this about? And he gave me a great answer, even though I hate to admit it that he had a better answer. Tim said, the more obedient we are, the closer we get to the light, that light being Christ. And as we get closer to the light, it will show more of the darkness that remains in us. And this is not a bad thing. This is the process of sanctification, of cleansing our heart, of becoming more Christ-like. Now, in the scripture, when they talk about the heart was our whole being. It wasn't just this little thing that ticks. In that time, the heart was referred to all of who we were. Christ enlightens us all the more as we obey and are drawn closer and closer to Him. That is the gift of confession. The confessing person is the one who will be in close fellowship and relationship with Christ. Now, one of my favorite authors, although he's not easy to read, but is St. Augustine of Hippo. He wrote the Confessions. And little did I know that it was a 13-book written works from 397 to 400 AD. I just got the shortened version. But this book helped me realize how central confession is to our growth and maturation as Christians. Just think about how central it is to you in relationships. If you don't confess and seek forgiveness, as Gary was talking about with the little ones, I don't know, your relationship's going to lack. You're not going to be vulnerable. And it just needs to happen for healing to take place and for bonding to take place, not only in marriage, but with our kids. It's so important. But we have to let go of pride to confess. So St. Augustine is one of the great Christian theologians of all time, fourth century theologian, all world to be precise. And he wrote Confessions because of his need to confess and his need to have Christ as his Savior. Augustine's life is the story of a person of means who was totally self-absorbed and lived to his own self-satisfaction. I won't go into it. Read the book. And he comes into this relationship with Christ that just changes him. He's a man of high, high intellect. Those people often have difficulty with Christianity because Christianity is way beyond our intellect and cognitive abilities. He comes into a relationship with Christ and he realizes, and he did some pretty sinful things, but he eventually realized the emptiness and sinfulness of his living, and he realized his need for a Savior. He confessed his need, and his life abruptly changed, and he became the Bishop of Hippo and one of the great Christian writers and theologians in history, in Christian history, in Christianity. But he makes it clear, and this is the point, he makes it clear that he came to Christ with a penitent heart and a heart that knew its need for a Savior. A penitent heart is not a prideful heart. Augustine writes, "You never go away from us, Lord. Yet we have difficulty in returning to you. Come, Lord, stir us up. And call us back. Come, Lord, stir us up and call us back. Kindle and seize us. Be our fire and our sweetness. Let us love. Let us run." Through recognizing and realizing our inherent and instinctual need for Christ in our own being, through a penitent heart, our confessions are our pathway to a deeper and enlightened commitment to our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Would you pray with me, please? Lord Jesus Christ, maker of heaven and earth, have mercy on us. Amen.